Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our second preview podcast for the 2019-20 season. I'm Hugh McTeer and I'm delighted to be joined by Paco and Roman for this one. Paco, how are you doing looking ahead to this new season?
Well, pretty excited, by the way, because lots of things have been going on this summer in Valencia, obviously in Valencia, both in Levante and also Villarreal. So plenty of things to be interested on the next season. And also, I have my interest picked on the way Marcelino is going to be on his third year. That's one of my biggest issues. I don't really know how Marcelino is going to be able to juggle so many competitions this year with so much pressure on top of him, because obviously fans have won a Copa del Rey a few months ago and they want more.
Yeah, Marcelino in the third year is always going to be interesting. Roman, how are things up in Barcelona, where Espanyol, one of the teams we'll be talking about, they already started their season before anyone else in Europa League qualifiers. How are things up in Barcelona?
All good up here. Hopeful that Espanyol will finally make it to Europa League, because, I mean, they had a great season at the end. Last year they managed to qualify, and hopefully that will turn out into a good qualification for Europa League. And I'm looking forward to see how they perform there if they finally make it.
Perfect. So let's get on with this podcast. We already had our title race discussion that came out for everybody on Monday. If you've not listened to that, go and listen to that as well. This podcast will be focusing on everybody not named Barcelona, Real Madrid or Atletico Madrid. So let's start with the fourth best team in Spain going by last season. That's Valencia, Paco. You just mentioned you're a little bit worried. Will they be in the top four again in La Liga?
I think so. Even though Marcelino's third season aren't usually that brilliant, they still need a couple of tweaks, a couple of additions to the squad if they don't want to make the same mistakes as last season, when we saw that it wasn't enough to play three competitions with that depth of squad.
And talk about Valencia making the same mistakes as the past. They almost ruined it all by hitting the self-destruct button in the offices, the club offices. Everything was going well on the pitch. Marcelino had just won the Copa del Rey, fourth place, and then it all threatened to self-destruct in the summer. What exactly happened there in that drama involving Matteo Alemany, the director, and Peter Lim, the owner? What happened there?
Okay, so this is going to be very tough to process, but I've tried to sum it up as much as possible. Deep breath. For the last two seasons, Peter Lim delegated in Matteo Alemany most of the transfer talks and moves, with one or two single exceptions, such as buying Gonzalo Guedes last summer. The owner of the club decided not to have executive powers and just greenlit whatever Alemany and Marcelino, who are very, very close, by the way, decided to do, okay? They made and took decisions, and Peter Lim said yes or no. They were doing a good job, okay? Alemany expected to keep doing his thing this summer and making larger and larger his influence within the club with Marcelino at his side, but Peter Lim had other plans. He had already decided that, yeah, they were doing a good job, but that the club is actually his, okay? He was the one to pony up the cash, and that he wants to have a bigger impact on how things are done daily. So there was friction, there was a fallout. It seemed that Matteo Alemany could actually leave the club at what point, and that Marcelino could follow suit, okay? But at the end of the day, both sides, luckily for Valencia fans, backpedaled a tiny bit. They met face to face in Singapore and they seemed to solve the issue. for now, because as you know, once you lose trust in someone who is a tight collaborator with you, it's very tough to regain that confidence and that level of partnership and trust. So I'm quite worried in that sense, but I expect all of them to behave on a professional way and to leave all of their personal differences aside in order to benefit the team and the club.
Yeah, well, you tell a great story, Paco. You should do audiobooks. That was you summed it all up there. A few cliffhangers, a few dramas turned there. I enjoyed that recap, and I think understand now what happened at Valencia and the situation going forward and some of the things that might be lingering from that drama. But at the moment, everything seems to be okay. Now, Roman, let's talk about one of the other top clubs in Spain, Sevilla. Julen Lopetegui, he's back in Spanish football. He's at Sevilla. Monchi is as well. They've looked really, really good in pre-season. How do you expect Sevilla's season to go?
Well, I think when Monchi and Sevilla are together, things work out well. I expect the best from them right now because, as we all know, Monchi has been such an important person for the club. And him returning, I think, will kind of liven them up once again. And the only doubt I have is on Lopetegui, because when he left Porto, fans weren't too happy with him. When he left Spain, fans weren't too happy with him, for other reasons, of course, not for football, but rather for how he left. And when he left Madrid, fans weren't happy. So I think it's his moment to prove himself as a manager and to lead an important club such as Sevilla. At the moment, the preseason looks good. They're playing well. They're getting wins. We're hoping that will continue in La Liga, of course. And with all the new signings coming in, I think it's Lopetegui's moment, now or never, to prove himself as a quality manager for a quality club.
Yeah, I think they do have a good chance to be in that top four race. Roman, do you think there's any other club that we've not talked about yet that could be in the top four? There's obviously Barcelona, Atletico and Real Madrid, and then Valencia and Sevilla will be fighting for that as well. Is there any club we've missed that you think could break into the top four this year?
Well, I mean, I think, for example, Betis maybe should be one of the clubs fighting for that position. I think they've been working on a project with it, which has kind of tumbled down a bit with Setien leaving, but Rubi's coming in. He's a great manager. They're bringing in good signings too, so they should be fighting for that fourth spot if possible. And I think, you know, maybe Villarreal could be there. Despite their terrible season last year, they still have good pieces. They know how to work well in the club, and I think maybe something good could come out of there. And I'm also looking forward to seeing Real Sociedad play with those good signings they've brought in.
Yeah, and Roman, let's talk about the two big Basque teams. Athletic Club finished really well with Gaizka Garitano last season. They would have finished fifth, actually, if the season had started when he took over, but that's not the case. So they ended up out of the European spots. And then Real Sociedad, you mentioned them, actually. They've added Porto, Martin Odegaard, Alexander Isak. What do you expect from the two big teams in the Basque Country?
Yeah, with Real Sociedad, I think, as I mentioned, yeah, look, really good this season. I mean, last year, for example, Real Sociedad weren't really fighting for anything most of the season. So Alguacil had the chance to bring up the youngsters, give them minutes, get them to start adapting to the competition. And I think some of these could consolidate this season. And if you add to that the signings you mentioned, I mean, Porto is a fantastic signing. Isak looks very good. And we'll see what happens with Odegaard, but he has plenty of talent. So I think if Alguacil gets the right setting on the field, I think Real Sociedad can be a team to look out for. Whereas Athletic, it's always hard to know which way they're going to go, because at some point you think they might get relegated because, you know, they can't really have a fantastic transfer window because of the terms of the club. So losing classic players such as Susaeta, Aitor Raspe, Mikel Rico probably is good for them to give the possibility to the youngsters to have more minutes. But still, I just don't see Athletic being as good as the end of last season. I don't think the momentum is going to carry on. And I think they're actually going to struggle again this season.
It'll be interesting to look out for those teams, see if they can break into Europe once again and bring European football back to the Basque Country. So time for some predictions from everybody. Who's going to finish 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th? Paco, I'll come to you first.
I believe Valencia are the ones who have the most chances of ending on the fourth place because of the squad, because of the quality of their players, because also the experience that their overall their team is able to amass from former seasons, and they are very, very well equipped for that kind of task. Fifth place for Sevilla, once again, they have a very, very good squad. I believe that Villarreal are going to bounce back this year. and they're going to be able to fight once again for entering European spots. So they would be sixth. And may I add one of the biggest surprises in my view? I believe that this is going to be the big breakout season for Leganés. I always thought that Lega are mega, but I think that they are really able to do something important this year under Pellegrino, with players who are going to keep playing for them this year. Obviously, their summer transfer market hasn't been the best one, but I think that they can be the biggest surprise this year, and they might be able to fight for seventh.
Interesting. And Roman, what about you?
Well, similar teams, different order. For me, Sevilla will make the fourth spot this season, I think, with Monchi's return. Then I think Valencia will be fifth. All the pressure behind that club is just so complicated to handle, and I don't know if Marcelino will be able to pull off another great season. And then I think sixth will be for Betis, and seventh for Villarreal, who, as Paco said, I think will bounce back once again.
Yeah, very similar to mine, but again, slightly different order. I think Sevilla, Valencia, Villarreal, and then Real Betis. So we'll see how that goes and see how silly we all look at the end of the season. Let's look silly with the relegation battle as well. I've got a sneaky feeling that Levante could end up being relegated this season. They conceded the second most goals of all teams last year. Paco, tell me why I'm wrong. What's the mood around Levante?
Well, you wouldn't get rich on the betting houses with that kind of prediction, because actually Levante looked pretty bad at this point in the summer, because for starters, they didn't find their own sport director till June 13th. And that definitely isn't normal. You know, Tito was the one to leave the club in the last days of June, and they sought out another individual who could be in charge of the signings this summer. And at the end of the day, they came back to square one, and they brought in Manolo Salvador, who was the architect for Levante in one of the best eras of their whole history, between 2008 and 2015, I believe. He was the one who signed Aruna Kone, Felipe Caicedo, Obafemi Martins. He was the one who built a squad who, with one of the smaller budgets in La Liga, were able to squeeze into European competition for the first time in 110 years. So Manolo Salvador has been the one in charge in the last few months, but he came in on, I insist, June 13th. That's very difficult for a sport director to build and to find interesting players who are able to adjust to the budget of the squad in so little time. So the planning has been all over the place. Lots of rumors, lots of players who seem to be interested in coming to Levante. But at the end of the day, the squad is half done at this point. And I'm especially worried, as you said, Iwan, before, on the defense, because Levante were in shambles last year. They were able to score very easily, but they were an absolute disaster at the back. And I think that Levante needs to sign at least two big signings to help them to defend a bit better this year.
Yeah, I really agree with your point there about having so little time to prepare for the season. But one of the teams that had the problem, not because of anything that they did with the hiring of a sporting director, one team that had this problem was Real Mallorca. They didn't even know they were in the division until June 23rd. That's when they qualified, beating Deportivo in the Segunda playoff final. So, Roman, what do we think about Real Mallorca, who've had so little time to prepare, and the other newly promoted sides, Osasuna and Granada? Is there a team out of those three who you think can stay up?
Well, I mean, for these clubs, it's always such a big leap playing in Primera. So much changes from La Liga 1, 2, 3 coming up. We saw last year with Huesca and Rayo how they were struggling, despite that at some points they were playing good football, but that's just not enough in First Division. You need to be consistent. You need to have a very solid squad. So what the clubs do, they bring in lots of signings sometimes. For example, Mallorca this season, they've brought in a load of signings, but of course, that means that the manager has to rearrange everything, restructure how the team plays in so little time. So it's really difficult for them. But if there's one that maybe could stay up, I think I'd bet on Osasuna, because I think they're signing really good players, especially offensively, like Chimi Avila, who was fantastic with Huesca last year, Adrián López, who has experience in league, and other players such as Cardona, Rubén García. So my bet would be on Osasuna, but it's very hard for them to actually manage to stay.
Yeah, I really like Osasuna as well. They didn't lose a single home game last year. They won 19 and drew two of them. So if they can keep up that home form, they'll definitely have a chance to stay up. So let's get some predictions from you both about the three teams you think will go down. I do think Osasuna will stay up. I think Mallorca might as well. We've seen in the past some of the teams that come up with the momentum of the playoffs end up staying up. So I think the teams that will go down will be Granada, and I'm going to go for Alaves and Levante as well. Paco, who are your three teams to go down?
Well, definitely Granada will be one of them. Also, I believe that Valladolid were flirting with the possibility last season, and this year they will do the deed and go down, because I don't really see their improvement this summer. And I'm going for a surprise in the third spot going down. It actually would be a very interesting bet, you know, because that would give us plenty of money if I am right. Athletic Club. I don't see that team in a good spot. You know, at the end of the day, they always are able to avoid relegation in some way. You know, sometimes even those ways have been, let's say, a bit, you know, a bit strange. Okay, a bit weird. The typical ref call here and there. Okay, but in the last few seasons, they have shown that if they don't take the competition seriously at the beginning, later coming back is going to be very tough. So those are going to be my three: Granada, later Valladolid, and finally Athletic Club.
So I think it's going to be quite similar to you guys. Granada look like they're going to struggle a lot. I think Mallorca will also struggle a lot. And the next one for me is between Valladolid and, sorry, Ewan, Eibar. I mean, of course, they have a great team, but they've lost two really important players, such as Rubén Peña and Joan Jordana. And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep up this great level another season. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they lost Cucurella as well. So, yeah, going to be tough for Eibar, but they always seem to find a way of finding players you've absolutely never heard of, and they turned out to be very good. So I think all Eibar fans hoping that can happen again. I'm going to thank Paco and Roman again. We've got Matt coming up in the second part of this podcast. He's been all around England, seeing some of these teams in pre-season. We're going to talk with Matt about these teams and then get ready for the new La Liga Santander campaign.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back for part two of podcast two of La Liga Lowdown season previews. We just discussed the European and relegation battles with Paco and Roman. Now it's time to go into a little more detail with a few of the teams that our own Matt Clark saw during his Spanish pre-season tour around the UK. Matt, thanks for joining me in this podcast.
Hey Ewan, how you doing?
Yeah, all good. Ready to discuss some of the teams that you saw. So specifically, you went to see Real Sociedad, Athletic Club, Espanyol and Valencia. Who impressed you the most and why?
Well, I think all of the teams were pretty impressive in their own ways. Athletic Club, they were very good in terms of attacking play, the link-up between Iñaki Williams and Iker Muniain, the new captain. That was all very encouraging. Real Sociedad, they have now a plethora of attacking talent, which is very encouraging for their fans. Valencia's midfield look imperious and every bit the side that beat Barcelona to win the Copa del Rey back in May. And of course, lastly but not least, Espanyol, they came over to Sheffield. It was a really quick in and out for the game, but they didn't bring all of their squad because of the Europa League qualifiers, but they still brought Roulet, and he excited some of the fans that were there to see him specifically, and he scored a belting goal. So yeah, I think of the most impressive, I would say, was Espanyol, given that they were in the middle of qualifiers.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Espanyol then. So they're taking part in Europa League qualifying. They started pre-season before any other team for that reason. Did they look much sharper than the rest? So should Sevilla be worried when they visit the RCDE stadium in week one of La Liga?
I think they will be quite concerned. They did look very sharp. As I say, Roulet was very encouraging in his play. He was linking up very well with the midfield. And he knows where the goal is, that's for sure.
Yeah, and what about Valencia? So they're the only one of the La Liga teams who you went to see who actually lost their game. What weaknesses did you see in that 2-1 defeat against Brighton?
As I say, the midfield was pretty impressive, but I think Maxi Gomez was still a little bit rusty up front for them. They still need a little bit of time to work him into some form to link up with Rodrigo. They would have been disappointed to concede late, especially to a set-piece goal. Although I would caveat that by saying that that game did come at the end of that week of turmoil that they did have, and the players' heads may not have been fully on the game. But Marcelino will certainly not be happy with the way they conceded that late goal.
Yeah, that makes sense after that crazy week that Paco told us about in part one. Let's talk about the Basque teams now. So they're both expected to be in that race for Europa League places. Who looked better out of Athletic Club and Real Sociedad?
Well, the fans of these two teams have really got a good-looking season to look forward to, I would say, especially in terms of attacking play. Athletic have got Iñaki Williams tied down for a new deal now with a massive 9-year deal with a bumper, €135 million buyout clause, which should put off even the richest English teams. And as for Real Sociedad, they've been investing some money in forward players. They've managed to get Martin Odegaard on loan. They've got Alexander Isak from Dortmund. They've also brought in Christian Porto, and that's all to add together with already who's there, Willian Jose, who was their top scorer last season with 11 goals. I would say probably at the moment, I'd probably say Real Sociedad looked the better in terms of the depth and variety they have up front. While with Athletic, the depth is a little bit of a concern for me.
And let's talk about Real Sociedad then in a bit of detail. So they've got all these attacking options, Odegaard, Isak, Porto as well. That's pretty exciting, no?
Definitely. I mean, Alexander Isak has already been in great form in pre-season. He's already scored 4 goals for them. He's fitted in seamlessly. He scored a couple in the game I saw. And he's already linking up well with their midfield. Oyarzabal didn't even play in that game, so he's to come back in as well. So they've got a real good blend of forward players. Christian Porto from Girona is a real canny signing. I think he's very quick and nimble around the box. He can link up with midfield and then feed the forwards as well. And of course, the great thing for them is that all of this was covered, in effect, by Griezmann's move to Barcelona because of their 20% sell-on clause. So they've managed to bring all these exciting young talents in and barely had to break the bank.
Yeah, that's a good point about Griezmann. One of the best signings and one of the best sales, sorry, in their history, not once, but twice.
Indeed.
So with Real Sociedad, OK, I'm definitely not jumping on the Real Sociedad hype train like everybody else is. I'm afraid I'm just not buying it, okay? So they do have all these attacking options. You've just outlined them. But part of football is you have to stop the opponent from scoring, right? So Real Sociedad, who do they have in defence? They've lost some defenders. They also had some of the most injury-prone defenders in the league last year. Who's going to stop the goals from going in at the other end? Or does that not matter if they have the players up front who can score you 3 or 4 goals a game?
Well, that's a very good point, Ewan. They could have some basketball-style scores, but you are right, defence, they will need to get the right balance between the attack and defence. They have signed Modibo Sagnon from Lens, from France, But of course, it remains to be seen how he will adapt to the pace and physicality and technique of La Liga, whether he'll be able to translate that effectively. Diego Llorente is, of course, the leader of their defence. Again, he will be pivotal for them. They only kept 9 clean sheets in La Liga last season, which wasn't really as many as they would have hoped for if they want to push on for a European challenge. Too many times they conceded goals in games, which means, of course, they have to then score more goals to get the full 3 points. They have got a couple of promoted players from the B team, Ian Munoz and Robin Lenormand. But of course, as always, it remains to be seen how well they will fit into the La Liga, the pace, and of course, all the different challenges that that upper, higher level will bring. For me as well, the key for them might be the captain, Asier Iarramendi, sitting in front of that back four. He missed a lot of games last season, as you touched on the injuries. He missed a lot of games. So for me, his fitness will be a key factor in just shielding that back four.
Yeah, it's the injuries that do worry me. No team in La Liga in 2018-19 had more injuries than Real Sociedad. They'll hope for a healthier season this year. But yeah, some guys that are just a bit injury prone, hopefully they stay healthy. And yeah, hopefully the guys up front stay healthy and give the fans up at the newly named Real Seguro Stadium something to look forward to this year. So let's talk about the rest of pre-season. Of the games you didn't attend in slightly more exotic places like Japan and the USA and Mexico and Switzerland, which pre-season game stood out the most for you out of all these international cup ones and various trophies? Which one stood out to you and grabbed your attention?
There was a few. I mean, the Atleti Real Madrid game was obviously quite a mind-blowing scoreline to wake up to in the UK time zone. And to see Costa banging in the goals again was something that he didn't really do much of last season. I'd also say that the Barcelona win over Napoli, a 4-0 margin, was really impressive because Napoli had been quite good in pre-season up to then. They'd beaten Liverpool. They were looking quite good under Carlo Ancelotti. So for Barcelona, without Messi, to go and win 4-0, it was some very encouraging signs for them. The link-up with Griezmann, Dembélé and Suarez, all amongst the goals as well. I think that was quite impressive.
Yeah, for me, one of them was Sevilla defeating Liverpool, the European champions, 2-1 in that game in Boston. Do you think there's much we can really learn from that game, even though it was pre-season? Maybe the fact that Nolito looked so good, the fact that Lopetegui has started well, the fact that Georges Gagnon looks really up for it, maybe too up for it with that really horrible challenge that went viral. What did you make of that game when Sevilla defeated the champions of Europe?
Yeah, there were certainly a few tasty tackles and certainly, they were obviously keen to impress Lopetegui, but didn't impress Jurgen Klopp too much, I can say that. I think you touched on Nolito there. He was so unlucky with his injury last season. He was coming into a bit of form at the time he got injured, so he'll be hoping that he can really kick on. There's been a massive turnover of players at Sevilla. With Monchi back, he's been willing and dealing in the transfer market. And I think they've got a real exciting blend of forward players, perhaps the most dynamic range of different striker types, with Dabur, with Luke de Jong. But we know Lopetegui likes to play attacking football and they seem to be starting in that vein. So let's hope they can continue that and bring some smiles to the fans.
It really does look quite an interesting year for Sevilla. You make a good point there. So many incomings, so many outgoings. I'm not too sure if that can work. I'm not going to get on the Sevilla hype train either. I'm just going to stay in the station until I see something that I like. But thank you, Matt, for coming on and telling us all about the Spanish teams that came over to visit the UK for pre-season, the ones you went to see in person. Thanks for that insight. And thank you as well to Paco and Roman, who told us all about who's getting into Europe next year, who's going down. They told us all of that in part one. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for this preview pod. Remember, this is the second podcast we've done. There was another one about the title race. If you've not listened to that yet, go and listen to that for all our predictions about Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. And remember, next Monday we'll be having our first post La Liga weekend podcast of the season, going over everything that happened in the first round of the new campaign.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.